Isaiah chapter number 29 now. Remain standing with me. Take your Bibles. Isaiah chapter number 29. We'll read verses 13 through 16 this evening. I'll begin on verse number 13 and you'll join me on verse number 14. Read through the end of verse number 16. Isaiah chapter number 29, beginning in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely our turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing be say of him that framed it, he had no understanding?" And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you for being our God. Lord, thank you for not just telling us how to live our life, but Lord, you've given us a word that we can fall back to. Lord, we can study, we can enjoy time in it, or we can enjoy learning about you. Lord, as we are here this evening and the word of God is being preached, may our hearts be tender, may our minds be open as we yield ourselves to you. The man of God preaches the word of God as he's prepared. Fill him with your power, please. May our minds be focused on the truth this evening. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open. I want to show you some things tonight. But here in Isaiah, God's people, the Jews, have strayed away again. God sends Isaiah to tell them to get back to obeying God, or God's going to send judgment upon Israel. I'm not sure whose that was, but God, was that you, Brother Steve? Oh, amen. Brother Mike, you can put anything on it anymore because I can eat anything because I can't taste it. All right. What's that? Fishes. I could eat that because I can't taste them, so it doesn't matter. Even tiny little fish on there. Although I would know they were on there because the texture's not very good. But God uses Isaiah to tell the people, look, you're not right. You've gotten away from God, and it's time to get back. And if you don't, judgment is coming. God does not want to punish anyone. May I say something? And I've been involved in the Lord's work for 32 plus years now. I've been involved in Christian education, a lot of that. I've seen a lot of discipline. As a school administrator, you have to apply discipline. It's not one of those things anybody enjoys doing. If you enjoy disciplining people, something's wrong with you. If you enjoy inflicting discipline upon somebody, you know, drill instructors, if you get them away from what they're doing, they're generally pretty decent people. They don't even like doing what they do. You have to understand, but you do what you do because you have to do it. There are times as a leader, I must correct somebody, not because I want to, but because they need me to. When I would discipline my children, they needed it. It wasn't because I wanted to do so. Now, the idea of God punishing his own people, he hates it, but just so you know something, he'll do it. You don't not do something because you don't enjoy doing it. Too many people say, well, I won't do that because I don't enjoy it. And look at the problem we have in America today with people that are out of control. God says that he had an idea to try to get these hard-headed, stubborn Jews to see the error of their ways. And I'm not pointing at anybody in here, Aaron. He really is trying not to punish them. You resemble that remark, right? God has a plan to try to motivate the Jews to want to obey him instead of him having to drop the hammer on them. Sometimes as a parent, you have to get a little creative. You know, and I find this true no matter what. You don't discipline everybody the same way. I have three children. All three of them are, I swear, had different parents. They're totally different from one another. One, you could beat them until they were purple and they would turn around and keep doing it. I had one, if you looked at them and just looked cross-eyed, they were fixing it. And the other was somewhere in the middle of that. May I say something? Just because that kind of discipline works for you doesn't mean it's appropriate for everybody else. Too many people get stuck on one kind of discipline because that's what works for themselves. You better be glad I don't discipline y'all like I discipline me. Y'all, you'd hate my guts. Some of you don't like them anyway, but you'd hate them even more. But you say, why? Because I have to be hard on me. Now, God tells us that the Jews, look at verse 13 again. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me. Can I put this in terms we understand? God's saying that these people know how to talk spiritually, but they're not living spiritually. They know the right words to say, and because they're saying those words, they think they are spiritual, but they're not doing it with their heart, and they're not living it one-on-one with God. You don't impress God because you know scriptural words. You don't impress God because you do spiritual things. You impress God when you have a relationship with God. We are to do things so that we have a relationship with him, not so that we just do things. Being spiritual is a matter of a relationship. I said that recently. It's not a matter of what we do. When you have the right relationship, you will do the right things. But I can do the right things. I can love my wife and be faithful to her. But if I just do that, but I don't go to her and personally tell her how much I love her and show her how much I love her, guess what? The relationship's not as strong. So it's more about a relationship than it is about individually what we do. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Just saying words is not love. Love requires action. Just because I say I love you doesn't mean anything. Good night. What's that dude's name? The TV of the cow bubba. Yeah, Joel Holstein. Sorry, it's the only way I can remember. Joel Holstein will tell you, "Oh, I love you," as long as you give me more money. It's more about what you get than anything with him. You say, preacher, I don't think you ought to judge him. I'm not judging him. I'll just tell you what it is. Now, wait a minute. Just because you say certain words, it requires action to back those words. You can say all the words you want, but if you don't live what those words are, your words are vain. Now, God's plan for the Jews was to do a marvelous work. I want you to notice verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. God said, I'm going to tell you what, let me do this. I'm going to do a marvelous work among the Jews. It's so marvelous that they'll wonder at it, and that will cause them to want to follow me. That was his hope. Now, it would show how unwise their wisdom was. Can I tell you something? God wants to do a marvelous work in America and show us how unwise the smart people of this world are. There are a lot of smart people that are pretty stupid. Just because they tell you they're smart doesn't mean they are. There's a difference in being smart and being a smart aleck. The people of understanding really don't understand. Everybody doing okay? God wanted to overwhelm them with how great he is so that they would be drawn away from the wisdom and man's wisdom of the world. There is more to life than the almighty dollar. There is more to life than positions and titles. Let me say that again. There's more to life than positions and titles. Believe me. Maybe if we got a glimpse of how great God is, maybe we could draw people to him. Our world, especially in America, talks a Christian talk, but America is about as far from God as she's ever been. Isn't it amazing? Our forefathers talked about our creator, not our evolver. Every time a teacher or an educational institution teaches evolution, they are anti-American. They are going against the Constitution of the United States of America. Think about that. And by the way, their evolution is dumber than dumb. God will soon have to do something to America or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I really believe that God once again wants to do a marvelous work to get people right with him. I believe that. I don't think God wants to punish America. I don't think God wants to punish our world. I think he's looking for someone who will step up and do a marvelous work and do a wonder amongst the people so that people will look at God and not themselves. I believe that God wants Grace Baptist Church to be that marvelous work in this area. Let me say that again. I believe God wants this church to be the marvelous work in this area. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about here in the Eastern Panhandle. I didn't say we would be the biggest, but we can be a marvelous work. We have way too much religion that is man telling God how God must accept man. We've got our high technology. We've got our screens and the bouncy balls and follow all the doojiggers and the smoke machines and the world's music and our entertainment shows. And we walk away saying, I went to church. No, you went to a show and put your money in. I was talking with somebody today. They went to and I won't give you the name of the church, none of your business, doesn't matter. But they were talking about they had visited there one time, and when you go there, if you join the church, you have to give them your banking information, and if you don't tithe, they tell you about it or they'll take it out automatically. The only thing dumber than that is people that will actually do that. Sorry, I'm not here to take your money. I'm here to get you closer to God. You'll give it if you're close to God. I'm not going to have to force you to give it. And I'm not going to. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. You see, God wants us to see him and change what we are to be what the Bible says we should be. We're not supposed to change God to make God what we want him to be. Too many churches are turning God into what they want instead of changing their life to be what God wants. May I say something? We said it, Brother Mike said it in Sunday school here, and I'm sure most of the other teachers said it in some shape, form, fashion, or another. We humans make bad gods. And if you looked at Nancy Pelosi, even the people that carved totem poles did better than that. She was the part that they put in underground, amen, and dug her back up after it had rotted for a while. You know, if we would just read this book and obey it as God wrote it, we'd have a whole lot less trouble.
Amen.
We don't need to change the laws in America. We need to enforce the ones that are already there. We wouldn't have problems with immigration if our government would just follow the rules that are on the books. We wouldn't have problems with debt in America if we just followed the rules that are in the laws that are on the books today.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be part of a marvelous work? You want God to use you as a part of a marvelous work? Just what is a marvelous work? How do we as a church become a marvelous work? Let's see what God has to say. Number one, God wants to do a marvelous work so people will see how good he is. Listen to this statement. Doing a marvelous work is not about you or me. It's about him.
Amen.
It's about God. Christianity is not a pin you put on your lapel. It's a cross you hang on. Christianity is not about you. It's about him. Look at verse number 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. He said, look, when God does something, it will cause smart people, wise people of the world to say, that's a whole lot better than we can do. Isn't it amazing that evil tries to cover up that which is good and exploit evil as good? Everybody wanted to complain about President Trump being a racist, a misogynist. Then this current president, after a little over 12 months, or just under 12 months actually, gets up and says, well, we have special types of medication that can help people with COVID, but we're only going to distribute it according to race. Oh, imagine what would have happened had President Trump said that. Imagine had President Reagan said something like that. Can you imagine how bad that would have been? Now, wait a minute. I didn't say it. He did. The President of the United States. When a sitting justice on the Supreme Court can lie about COVID cases, saying over 100,000 children were hospitalized with COVID, when actually less than 3,500 have been hospitalized. Not 35,000, 3,500. Now, wait a minute. That's a Supreme Court justice. Let's hold her feet to the fire. Let's bring her before Congress and throw her up for censuring and get her off the court.
Amen.
God did not make us for ourselves. We were made for his pleasure. You were not created for your pleasure. You're created for God's pleasure. Revelation 4:11. Turn your Bible to Revelation 4. I want you to see this. Many of us ought to commit this verse to memory. You ought to plant it in our children's brains and not forget it in life. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created how many things? All things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Can I tell you something? God created all things. That means your paycheck was created by God. It's for his pleasure, not yours.
Amen.
My paycheck is for God's pleasure, not mine. Maybe we ought to take God's pleasure into consideration over our pleasure. Power, glory, honor were made for God, not for us. That's what he said, isn't it? And all things were made by him, and for him they were made for his glory and honor and power, not for us. Now, we need to quit living so selfishly. Now, please don't take that the wrong way. You are a very giving church. I get that. But it's amazing how even giving people can be selfish. We are. We're all selfish to a certain level. But wait till somebody has a real need. Yes, we'll kick in. But let me ask you a question. How's it going at home? What's the word marvelous mean? The word marvelous means to make great, to distinguish, to cause to marvel, to separate, to be above all others, extraordinary. God says he wants to do an extraordinary work. He wants to do something that is above all others. He wants to distinguish or make something great. I was recently, I think I was at a store, I forget where I was at, and somebody had a track laying there, and they looked at it, and they looked at me. I said, yep, it's me. And I was behind them, not in front of them, so they know I didn't put it there. And I said, one of my folks must have been here. They said, is your church the one? And they knew where our church property was. I said, that's us. And this is what they said. We've heard a lot about your church. That's a church where people go to get help. I said, you found the right church. I love that. I like being known in the areas of the church where people come to get help. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to pay everybody's electric bill and their phone bill and their rent and their everything else. And God knows I could have bought 100 homes with the amount of rent people asked me to pay. Oh, my soul. It's amazing. But can I tell you something? I don't pay people's bills. Now, if somebody in our church needs help, I'm going to find a way to help them. But isn't it amazing? Sometimes I've been able to help people out of my own pocket, and they'll say, well, preacher, I'll pay it back. No, pay it forward after you get in better shape, and you can pay somebody else's later. Amen. It all works out. Don't worry. We need to quit blaming God for all of life's sinful results and marvel at all he is. Right. Let's not grovel in our loss. How about we marvel at all he does? Brother Juan, time to wake up. it wasn't his. I don't know whose it was. It was yours? Ah! I can't tell if you're blushing or not, man. Wait a minute. That's funny. God did. What was that? God doesn't sin, we do. Why is the result of our sin his fault? Why do we blame God for the result of our sin? When somebody passes in what we think is premature, why is it God's fault? God didn't sin. We do. How about we blame our own sin and the stinking devil instead of blaming God? Well, God could have prevented. No, God's justice doesn't allow him to prevent everything. God needs someone, some church, willing to go in above and go beyond so that he can bless them to be a marvelous work. Let me ask you a question. An extraordinary church is going to take extraordinary work. Isn't it amazing? The harder you work, the luckier you get. It will take extraordinary dependence on God to build an extraordinary church for God. Folks, you're sitting in a room built that is a marvel. This building is a marvelous work. It's not maybe the prettiest building you've ever seen in your life, but it's a marvelous work if you knew where we came from. Yeah, go to Aiken Center once and go upstairs. I'll show you what a marvelous work can be. Yeah, buddy, when we had two public toilets and they locked the doors and bus kids had shut the door with key locked in there. And then I got a line waiting to get in one toilet, amen? And it stunk. I'd go out every service and sweep up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cigarette butts, so y'all didn't have to walk through cigarette butts. It got so bad, I used to get the leaf blower and blow them, and I'd gather up a 5 gallon bucket load every week. Say why? And those things are nasty. Oh, nasty, nasty, nasty. It takes an extraordinary faith to build an extraordinary church. It takes people that are willing to do an extraordinary work. It doesn't make sense to go out and knock on doors and pick people up and bring them to Sunday school on a bus. But guess what? It's amazing what can happen when we do. Doesn't make sense to take your Bible and go out on Saturday, go out during the week and knock on doors and tell folks about Jesus and give up a gospel tract, but there's people sitting in this room all over the place that you were here because somebody did that. That's not man's work. It's our labor, but God blesses it and does an extraordinary work. I've got to hurry. Number two, God wants his goodness to change people's direction. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 2. I want to show you a verse that is misused an awful lot. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse number 4. Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now look at me. I've heard a lot of preachers preach and say, well, that means this. When God's good to you, that means you need to get yourself even more right. It'll lead you to get more things right. That's not what God said. It doesn't say God's goodness to me leads me to repentance. It says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. May I show you what that means? As I go about doing my work and my own righteousness, I'm trying to help God, but I get alone with God. And the closer I get to him, the more I see how sinful I am. My righteousness is as filthy rags. The good that I do, it's still tainted by my sin. But I get a look of his righteousness and say, wow. God, you are so good, and I'm so dirty. Clean me up a little bit more so I can do some more for you. It is seeing his goodness that makes you want to change what you are. It's not how good he is to you. It is seeing how good he is. Guess what? I've experienced enough of God's blessings in my life. If he never blessed me again, he's still been good to me. Yes. I'm not asking God to be good to me, but I see his goodness. I see how wonderful he is, and it makes me want to change what I am so I can do more for him and get closer to him. That's what the doctrine of separation is. We are to leave the world and leave the things behind the world and take those things off of us because they keep us from getting closer to him. Things like alcohol, smoking, the things of the world, the wrong music and those things. Yes, some of those things are sinful in and of themselves, but they keep us from getting closer to him. As we drop those things out of our life, we get a little closer and say, yeah, but there's a whole lot more. And there's a whole lot more. Did you know you're not as good as you think you are? Compare yourself to that book right there and find out how good you are. You kneel before a holy God and see how sinful you really are. These people say, well, I got a glimpse of Jesus and look at what God did through me. Gag. Oral Roberts, I saw a 700-foot vision of Jesus. Yeah, right. Just give me millions of dollars. Let me show you what God can do. I never quite understood how a guy that believed in faith healing had a hospital. Tell me how that works. Guess he didn't have enough faith. Wait a minute. But when you see God, anybody in the Bible that got a glimpse of God, they never said, look at me. They said, woe is me. Why did they say, woe is me? Because the closer you get to him, the more you see yourself as you really are. When you compare your goodness to his goodness, our goodness is pretty bad. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. So it is seeing his goodness that makes us want to change what we are so we can bring more goodness to him. Now watch this. We are back in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. It says he wants to change and do a marvelous work so that even the wise will be able to see how good God is. It will confound the wise. Hang on for a second. I'm going to throw a fit for a couple minutes. Not real bad. We cannot copy the world and be a marvelous church. We're not going to copy what the world does and do a marvelous work for God. We're not supposed to bring the world's music into the church. Our music is to be different. You say, why? Because it's to bring honor and glory to God, not satisfy our flesh. We're not to bring culture into the church. I am so sick and tired of people of culture. You know what the root word of culture is? Cult. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with some classical music, but we've got churches that have symphony orchestras and they're as dry as last year's Christmas tree. They're dried up and dusty. They're so bent on performance to be culturally accepted. We've got to have a good testimony, so we'll not have church, so we don't cause to have ourselves a bad testimony in the area. Hey, I think not having church is a bad testimony.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? How many times have I heard in the last 2 years, boy, I wish more churches would stay open. Well, there's one that did. Really? Yeah. There's family sitting in this church tonight because we stayed open during the pandemic. God didn't say we ought to have the technology of the world to attract people to the church. We're not going to have a movie screen up here and play all of our announcements on the movie screen and have 14,265 people running their mouth and showing videos of things that we're going to be doing in the next week. We'll be California style. Gag. I saw what comes out of California. Don't want anything to do with it. See, well, is there anything wrong with it? Show me a church that's doing it, that's doing a marvelous work for God. I'm talking about the philosophies of the world. Here's where the fit's really going to get thrown. I'm not going to send you to a psychologist to get your problem solved.
Amen.
If God can't solve it with the Bible, you got a big problem. I promise you, those psychologists need a Baptist preacher. They don't need a psychologist.
Amen.
They need somebody to kick the ever-loving snot out of them, tell them, thus saith the Lord, not because your mommy didn't burp you right or your dad didn't take you enough ball games when you were a kid that you decided to be a mass murderer.
Right.
Everybody wants to go so far back into their life that this is why I have my problem, because my great-grandfather, he sucked too much tobacco juice, and when he didn't spit it in the spittoon right and sucked it down his throat, and now I've got this problem. Isn't it amazing how we want to blame everybody except the person we look at in the mirror?
Amen.
That's man's philosophy. It's everybody else's fault. How about you look at yourself in the mirror and say, God, that's the problem. Me. That's why, okay, everybody doing all right? I won't look at anybody. That's why I think we ought to dress differently than the world at church. Sorry. I believe we ought to do our best. If your best is blue jeans and a t-shirt, great. Just make sure they're clean. That's all I ask. I'm not saying everybody has to wear a suit. But I am saying this. I think we ought to be able to tell that that's a man and that's a woman. I said this recently. I'm going to say it again. Get ready. Isn't it amazing the sodomites even know how a man and a woman are supposed to dress? If a man wants to act like a woman, what's he do? Grows his hair long, puts jewelry on, wears a dress. If a woman wants to be a man, what's she do? She hacks her hair off, cuts it short, and wears a pair of sloppy clothes. That ought to tell us something. Everybody doing okay? I love you. God's goodness needs to show us what to change in our life so we can be closer to him so that he can do a marvelous work through us. I'm not complaining about anybody in this room. I'm just preaching what he said. God sets very firm, definite lines in the Bible for what he wants. Did you know you never have to wonder what God wants? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you can't find it in the Bible, don't worry about it.
Amen.
It's that simple. But if you find it in the Bible, don't try to explain it away. Well, that was a different culture. That was a different time period. Since when did God change? I am the Lord God. I change not. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? God meant it back then. He means it today.
Sure.
Say, preacher, that's pretty simple. Yep, pretty simple. Even you could understand it. God wants us to see him and his work, how opposite from the world and the devil it's supposed to be. Our churches are not supposed to be like the devil's. Our churches are not supposed to be like the world. His work is to be different. Have you noticed things are different here than are in the world? And it's a wonderful thing. You come here and it's kind of normal. Kind of. As long as everybody takes their meds. It's good. It's not bad. By the way, it's proof it's what God wants, not what man wants. When I was in the Chicago area, there's a guy up in the northern western suburbs that was, he built a very large church. His name, last name is Hybels, not Hiles, but Hybels. He went through the area of all the rich neighborhoods and took surveys of what people were looking for in a church, and he tried to build a church matched based on what everybody's likes and dislikes were in church. He built a great church, a big, large facility and a big church building, and had a lot of people for a few years. But guess what? People change what they like. Now those buildings are used for businesses. He's not even there anymore. When you build a church to satisfy people, it's going to fall apart. When you build a church that satisfies God, he can do a marvelous work. God wants what is best for his children. It doesn't mean every child's going to like what's best.
Amen.
There were a lot of things I didn't like my dad made me do, but guess what? It was what was best. It doesn't mean that you're not the child of God if you don't like the church. Did you know? It means that you're disobedient. But it doesn't change the fact that you're still a child. If my dad, let me rephrase that. When my dad, not if my dad, when my dad had to paddle me, it didn't mean he disowned me. It meant he loved me enough to correct me, and he needed me to change. I can't tell you how many times he'd say, look, your last name is the same as mine. You better clean it up, or I'm going to clean you up. Because you ruined my name, I'm coming after you. Yes, sir. And I've heard that so many times, Brother Mike. And then I'd hear my mom say, make sure you got clean socks, clean underwear on in case you're in an accident. I never did figure that out. If I'm in that bad of an accident, why does it matter? Thank God for my grandmother. Amen. And by the way, if someone's child goes bad, it's not the parent's fault. I am so sick and tired of everybody blaming a leader because a follower does wrong. Where does the responsibility fall on the leader to make the follower do right, even when they're not under their leadership? If that's the case, God is the worst of all. Quit beating yourself up if you've got adult kids that aren't living the way you think they ought to live. That's between them and God, not between you and them. Let them pay the consequences. Love them. Don't support their wrong. But you can still love them. Quit blaming yourself. Well, I was a bad parent. I know great parents whose kids turned out to be rough. That's not the parent's fault. That's the kid. You know, at some point in time, it's an individual's responsibility to do that which is right on their own.
Amen.
Number three, and I've got to hurry. God wants to do a wonder. Notice what he said in verse 14. I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. The word wonder is the word miracle. Remember back Christmas, I preached a sermon out of Isaiah 9:6, and he shall be called Wonderful, the miracle worker, the miracle, miraculous. He is wonderful. God wants to do miraculous things. Grace Baptist Church, this place is a miracle. It is. If you knew how the finances ran around here, it's miraculous. If you saw how God brought money in for us to find this property, build, buy the property, build the building, it is miraculous. Say why? Because we had people that were concerned about obeying God, pleasing God, doing what we could and letting God take care of the rest.
Amen.
How is it that just a couple weeks ago, God touched the heart of a businessman in Texas to send $10,000 to our church, who's never stepped foot in this building, on this property, or even near it? I haven't even put my eyeballs on that man in 40 plus years. How does God do that? Because he wants to do a miraculous work. A miraculous work. I've said this before. Getting a miracle is great. Needing one really stinks. If you're in a spot where you need a miracle, you're not in a good spot. By the way, as I preached a few months ago, there was only one that got the miracle every year, the stirring of the water. Everybody else went home without it. They don't happen all the time. But I believe there's still miracles going on today. I don't think there was an age of miracles. I see them happen all the time. Brother Roloff used to say this: the only reason churches today don't still see miracles is because they don't live in such a way to where God can give them one. Man, I love that. How'd you like to live in such a way God could bless our church with more and more and more and more miracles? Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like being in a spot where we need one. But Brother Mike, if that's what it takes, it's worth it. It's worth it. We need to keep obeying in such a way that we see God being able to work miracles out on a regular basis. I'm talking about financially. I'm talking about bringing people in a very miraculous way and joining our church. I'm talking about seeing people saved. I'm talking about seeing lives changed. Hey, that man sitting right there who taught Sunday school in here today is a miracle. 27 years old, drug addict and drunk, set a can of beer down on the corner of the table, and trusted Christ as his Savior. Hey, that's miraculous.
That's right.
But I could take you to other people in this room, how it's just as miraculous of what God did.
That's right.
I've got to quit. This area needs God. This area needs a church that's not playing church.
Amen.
Folks, you'll find out church is serious stuff to me. It's not play. This isn't entertainment. This isn't professionalism. This is real to me. This area needs a marvelous work of God. I believe it could be Grace Baptist Church. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to help it become that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you willing to do your part to let God do a marvelous work and a wonder in this area through Grace Baptist Church. Do you want it? How badly do you want it?